I got to show you this.
What do you think?
Well, you're being honored. You'll be presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award. So what?
You told him I was his 24/7 driving slave for the entire weekend.
Look who the previous winners are. Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, and Clint Eastwood.
Oh, what?
Hi.
Mr. Edwards.
Yeah.
You should see this rat hole. You're there already. Just enjoy it.
What the hell is this?
This is the festival. Welcome to Nashville.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Edwards, I can't tell you how excited we are to have you here.
How are you?
Thank you for coming to the film festival. Let's get you over to the red carpet.
Why the hell are you even here?
Because Clinton, Jack, and Bobby De Niro won.
You are the only one stupid enough to show up.
There are things I've done.
Where's Vic?
He left.
Vic!
Sloshed.
Yell bang.
Bang.
Oh my God!
I'm tired of feeling like a has-been.
The number one box office star for 5 years in a row.
Six,
I'm sorry. Better
choices. Take the next exit. I take some
different roads. Where are you guys?
He's on some weird memory tour or something.
My God, here you are. I can't believe this.
Is it true that you doubled Burt Lancaster?
I did double somebody on that picture. I had to fall off a horse in a dress. That's why you took to look at him. An audience will forgive a shitty act two if you can wow them in act three.
The Hollywood Critics Association awarded you Best Newcomer of the Year.
That's the only time I ever agreed with a critic.
Welcome to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again by my friend, Miss Steph DeWagoner.
Once again.
Once again. And now we're doing a... You actually brought this movie to my attention. I did not know this movie existed. And we are doing The Last Movie Star.
Yes.
2017, starring Burt Reynolds. And this... Was this his last film?
It was not his last movie.
Yeah.
There was a few more. He died about a year later.
Yeah.
He died in 2018. But there are a few more movies on IMDb now, when they were filmed and the order
right.
and whatnot. Because some of the films even came out posthumously, as
yes.
they say.
So this was one of his last films. 2017, The Last Movie Star. And it is basically autobiographical.
I would say it really parallels his life. So I don't know if the script was developed and then Burt Reynolds came in.
The script was developed for Burt Reynolds.
Okay.
And the writer-director said, if Burt Reynolds doesn't do it, we're not doing the movie.
Well, it's interesting because as I was watching this movie, I tried to think who else but Burt Reynolds could have done this. I mean, obviously, we'll talk later about the clips and stuff. But I was trying to think, like, of his contemporaries, who could have done this? You know, Clint Eastwood, Nolte, Michael Douglas. Nobody... Even if they would have done this, I think it would have come off as actory, and for some reason, this works.
None of them, well, maybe Nick Nolte, but none of them really had the lows that Burt Reynolds had.
Right, right. And to everybody else is dead, or,
yeah.
you know. But, okay, that's interesting. So
They specifically wrote this for Burt Reynolds.
That makes a lot of sense, because it does follow a lot of very loosely autobiographical, mm-hmm. similar, you know, this character's from Tennessee, Burt's from Florida, right? Or, you know, that kind of
thing. It reminded me a little of that Richard Pryor movie, Jojo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, mm-hmm. which was basically autobiographical up to that point in Richard Pryor's life about his, there's even, you know, this comedian, Jojo Dancer, who in the movie burns himself freebasing. We open this movie up with an old clip of Burt Reynolds plays an actor called Vic Edwards.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm glad we're doing this because this has been on my watch list for a while, but I've been scared to watch it because I thought it's going to be really sad.
Which it is.
But not in the way that I thought. Like, I thought it was going to be sad in the way of, like, I can't watch Burt Reynolds like this. Mm. Or, you know, I just thought it was going to be, like, uncomfortable. Maybe that's a better term.
Maybe.
But, so I'm glad I watched it. And then it starts, And I, do you know the meme, have you ever seen the meme that's like where the guy holding the sign that says, if the dog dies, I'm not watching the movie?
Right.
So what is our first scene in this movie?
The first scene is actually a clip of Burt Reynolds on a talk show from, looked like the 70s.
Right.
He was.
Oh yeah, he's on David Frost or something.
I think it was David Frost. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
But this is the 70s. This looks like it's right after Deliverance.
So it's Burt Reynolds, but they've positioned it as his character Vic Edwards on David Frost.
And then we open a scene, and it's Burt Reynolds in present day time. And to me, Burt Reynolds is like Dick Clark, where he looked good for so long, and then he just immediately fell off a cliff. Because I remember watching him in like the remake of The Longest Yard, and where came out like 10 years before this, and he still looked fine, and he just goes off a cliff.
He looks old.
He looks old.
He's what, 80?
He's 81 in this movie. Okay.
So there's a great long shot. We go from this haha comedy light 70s talk show to hit this great shot panning out of him sitting in a vet office.
Well, okay, so they're in a vet's office, and I first thought he's auditioning his dog.
Oh, I didn't think.
He's gone so far off that he's bringing in his dog in for an audition for a commercial.
I knew immediately when I saw that old dachshund sitting on his lap, and I was like, oh God, this is like, oh no, like the dog is representing him. This is not going to be good.
No, yeah, and they take him in, and the doctor says there's nothing we can do with him.
No, he's 15 years old. Yeah. His kidneys are shutting down. His medication's making his other organs shut down. Like, you've got to just put him down.
Yeah.
And you can tell this is like his last friend in the world. You know, the dog's been with him. You know, he asks her. And I was like, please do not tell me this is how this movie's going to start. Because I will not. Like, I've never seen John Wick. I've never seen Marley and Me. I don't watch movies where the dogs die.
What about Turner and Hooch?
No, well, but doesn't that turn out in the end with the puppies?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a happy ending.
They say the dog is going to die, and Bert says, can I have a moment alone with him? Cut. It was like we didn't see it. And I'm like, oh, that was great.
Yeah. This movie's actually edited really
well. It's edited very well. It was like it was a cut to him
in the car with the dog collar.
I thought that was nice. So it didn't get bogged down and didn't get too maudlin at the beginning of the movie. It was a nice cut. And then we go back to his place, and it's a pretty palatial space. Yeah. I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
I was happy to see he wasn't living in squalor or a one-bedroom apartment. So even though he's not on top of the world, he still has a very nice place.
No, it's nice. It's this nice mid-century modern Beverly Hills.
Has a gate out front.
Yeah, nice. You know, it's got the decor where he hasn't redecorated probably in 30 years, But I was like, man, I'd like to live in a nice mid-century modern house.
Absolutely.
But you can tell that at one time this was a super stylish house, and that's probably the one thing he's held on to is this house, and pours himself a drink, throws the dog's collar into the empty dog bed.
Well, he gets the mail first.
Right.
He gets the mail, and that's going to be important later.
Oh, but it was cute. He got the mail with the grabber, with the grabby
thing. Well, so my dad is 97, and he does that. He has a little thing.
I was going to ask you. I thought about your dad during this.
And then we see him going shopping. And this is kind of depressing, where moseying around the shopping center. And then he sees this incredibly young woman with incredibly shorty shorts on. And she doesn't even pay attention to him. And he turns around and he looks at her ass. And it's like he doesn't even exist to her. And
when once he was the hottest guy in the world. You know, you can tell we're doing a podcast because my dog is panting heavily like he always does during one of your podcasts.
Then he buys a Hungry Man.
Life of a Bachelor.
Yeah, he buys a Hungry Man. Then we cut back to his home and he's drinking whiskey, eating a Hungry Man, and watching a football game. And then we cut to him and Chevy Chase.
Yes.
At this outside cafe. Is Chevy a friend or a manager?
I was going to ask you if you'd... who is he playing in this? Yeah. I'm assuming he's playing another actor because he kind of ribs him about, like, where's your lifetime achieving? You know, they're kind of ribbing him.
Right.
So I get the feeling that Chevy Chase is sort of playing himself as well.
This was sent to me. What do you think? I don't know how they got my address, but they sent it to me.
This was the International Nashville Film Festival. You're being honored. This year is being dedicated to honoring you and your impressive body of work. It's about time.
So what?
We would like to invite you to join us for a retrospective of some of your greatest films, followed by a gala ceremony where you will be presented with our prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award. Look who the previous winners are. Robert De Niro, Jack Nicholson, and Clint Eastwood. And it says here all expenses are paid.
That's country music town. That's not a film town.
No. Nashville has become very hip. Very hip.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, my hip. Sitting on an airplane for too long a time. What if I get a clock in my butt?
Look, I've heard of this film festival. I know this is a prestigious award, and I don't think you're going to get a clot in your butt. Nick, I'm just saying, if you don't go, you're a bigger asshole than I ever thought.
Oh, well, I guess you would know. You've made such great career moves.
Because Chevy said, you know, that so-and-so died, and Bert's like, I didn't know that. And then Bert said he was a putz.
He's a putz, yeah.
And I'm just wondering if that, because Chevy Chase is known for being a putz. So I'm just wondering if that was any self-aware.
But Chevy's looking old too, ladies and gentlemen.
He's looking better now. This was when, there was a time when he was on medication that he put on a lot of weight. And yeah. He's lost that weight now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chevy was looking old and fat in that movie.
I was trying to figure out too, like, is this just casting again? Or, you know, I don't think he and Burt Reynolds are friends. I've never known Chevy Chase or Burt Reynolds.
Well, now Chevy Chase, I think they might be, because Chevy Chase was part of the poker game, Johnny Carson.
Oh.
And I think Burt, so they may have all played poker together. Maybe. But I know Chevy Chase was part of a poker night with Johnny Carson, and I know Burt Reynolds and Johnny Carson were pretty cool.
It's nice. They're sitting outside at a restaurant, you know, looking at girls and chatting about their dead Hollywood friends. And,
yeah. And then Burt Reynolds brings up, I got this invitation to the International Nashville Film Festival.
Not to be confused with the Nashville International Film Festival.
Right. Chevy's like, why don't you go? And he's like, I'm not going to go. And he's like, look, they've honored Clint Eastwood and
Robert De Niro
and Al Pacino. No, Jack Nicholson. I think they use those names particularly because I know Burt Reynolds used to tell a story how he and Clint Eastwood auditioned on the same day. Clint Eastwood had this Adam's apple, and the casting director goes to Burt Reynolds. He goes, you can't act. And he goes, you got that Adam's apple. And they're walking out, and Burt Reynolds says, well, at least I can learn how to act. So, and then Chevy tries to convince him to go to this thing. And then we cut back to the house. He's thrown the invitation away, and then he goes to throw something away, a pill bottle or something, and he misses. He bends down, and he picks the invitation out of the trash. He's right. Wadded it up. He's like, okay, I'll go. And then we go to the airport, and he's just greeted by this...
Very perky.
Very perky, who doesn't recognize him. I thought Burt Reynolds, maybe not, anyway.
What?
That when he would be recognized, at least...
The Vic Edwards character?
Well, the Vic Edwards, if Vic Edwards was Burt Reynolds, I think Burt Reynolds would be...
But he does, later on in the movie, like the hotel manager swoops in. And
but these are older people.
Right. Yes. She's younger, and she's just also in her, like... Can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? You know, and he's engaging with her as well, you know.
And he's...
Thinks he's supposed to have a first class ticket.
No, and then we just have this quick scene where he's in a middle seat.
He's in a middle seat. And that's all you need. You didn't need anything else.
You didn't need anything else. No, yep.
Middle seat.
And then he lands in Nashville. And he's waiting for his limo. And this limo pulls up and he thinks it's for him. And it's not. It's just people dropping off these... I don't know, rich people, and the limo pulls away, and then this clunker pulls up, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
I have been to Nashville, and it is a music town.
It is. Oh, yeah, because that's why he doesn't want to go, because he's like,
It's a music town, because many a comedy club has died in Nashville, because it's a music town. Nashville is a music town. And this, you know, this teenaged... I don't know, 20 something.
Yeah.
She gets out of the, she's yelling at somebody on the phone, and she grabs a sign called Mr. Edwards, and he sees the sign, and we go in. And
this is Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
So this, maybe this is just the old man in me. throughout this whole movie, she's dressed in this halter top and Daisy Dukes. And I was sort of embarrassed for her for dressing like that. It was, and maybe that's just, because she's not wearing a bra. You see the bottom of her boobs through the whole thing.
No, I think she's wearing a bra later. Oh. She's wearing like a cutoff t-shirt and these really short, like terribly short.
Yes.
Shorts. I wish at one point they would have given her she's supposed to be like kind of goth, alternative. Mm. All I could think about is, I bet she smells like cigarettes. The whole movie, she looks like she smells like cigarettes, like she's put those shorts on every day.
She smells like like clove cigarettes.
Yeah, and
patchouli oil.
And booze. Like, yeah. You could just tell she got up, threw on her clothes again.
Yeah. Probably just right after having sex.
Right.
Which we see later in this.
Right, right. So, yeah, she's supposed to be this alternative, artsy, she's got her, boots with her shorts and her ripped up rock and roll t-shirt and her leather jacket, and she's pissed off and, doesn't really appreciate or know who she's picking up.
No, some old asshole, as she puts it. And then Burt Reynolds tracks her down. He's like, "Where's my limo?" "Well, there's no limo. It's my car." We get into this car. And then she's driving recklessly back to the hotel. She's texting and driving at the same time. And he goes to, it's like an economy inn.
It is a motel.
It is a motel. I recognize that room immediately.
This is not even a Holiday Inn Express or a Best Western. This is a highway motel.
Yes. And Burt Reynolds is naturally, he's irritated. He's pissed off. He's like, "I was promised first class accommodations, first class travel," which neither of these he had. And she's basically working for her brother. The brother is the one running the film festival, and she doesn't care. She doesn't care about her brother. She doesn't care about Burt Reynolds. She doesn't care about any of that. I guess she's getting paid to do this, and that's the only reason she's doing it. And throughout this whole time, she's arguing with her boyfriend on the phone, through phone calls and texts. And then Burt Reynolds calls Chevy Chase from the room. I don't think Burt Reynolds has a cell phone in this. He never uses a cell phone. He calls Chevy Chase from the hotel room, and Chevy's like, "Just stick it out. Get to the festival. People will be there. They'll kiss your ass. You'll love it." And then we pull up to a bar where the film festival is.
And it looks like a typical kind of, not divey, but just like a Nashville bar, And they, they've, bless their hearts, they've tried to decorate it, and they've got, printed out, computer printed signs saying the International Nashville Film Festival.
Right.
And they've got some big blown up like illustrations of Burt Reynolds.
Well, it comes out during the ride there. Burt Reynolds is like, "Oh no, that comes later. Okay, we'll get that in a second." But he goes in and he starts taking pictures, and everybody there is glad to see him. Everybody is there.
Which I was happy to see. I was like, "Oh God," I was thinking, "Oh, he's going to show up and there's going to be like nobody there." But he walks in and everybody's super excited to take a picture. So he is sort of happy when he first, it's a little disorienting. He's in this kind of like divey bar, but they've got it set up where they're waiting on him. They're excited. Everybody's trying to get their pictures. They're, yelling for him.
And during these pictures, he has a flashback to the Academy Awards where he was presenting. Yeah. So he flashes back to once again what he thinks is better times in his life.
There's a nice method in this movie of cutting in old footage, old actual real footage of Burt Reynolds, adapting it to the story as if it's Vic Edwards. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about it also. There's a couple of really cool things.
Right.
Where they do some CGI.
Some really good stuff. And one of the people running the film festival has a crush on Lil. That's the woman. That's the girl.
Right. Like the best friend of her brother, which Clark Duke is you guys probably know Clark Duke. He was on The Office and, he plays a lot of the, nerdy glass. He was in Hot Tub Time Machine and Kick-Ass, if you've ever seen Kick-Ass or Kick-Ass 2. So you guys know Clark Duke. He's running the festival with his best friend, and his best friend has a crush on Lil.
And he's like, "What was it like to be with Vic Edwards?" Or not Vic Edwards, what?
Yeah, Vic Edwards.
Yeah. And she's like, he's just a total asshole. He's an old asshole. Like, she is not impressed at all. And then we go into the film and we see, and they're watching one of Burt Reynolds'
films. Well, yeah,
films.
They say, hey, come up on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've got this red carpet and you know, they're all happy to see him. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking at him like, oh, he's old. Yeah. Or anything. They're thrilled to have him there.
And then during the film, he steps out in the bar and starts, you know, downing whiskey. And he looks out and he sees Lil screaming on the phone. Screaming on the phone, or was he there?
You're talking about when he sees her yelling at her boyfriend?
Yes, he is there. And he actually puts his hands on her. And he's about to get up and do something, but the boyfriend leaves.
Yeah, he sees through the window of the bar that the boyfriend smacks or hits her something.
And then she comes in and she starts drinking. They have a moment together.
He did a little Q&A before the movie started. They were all excited, right? They did a little Q&A with the fans, and then they started the movie. And then in this one, they leave, right? He doesn't come back for the end of this movie?
No, he does.
Oh, okay.
But him and Lil have a little... He's like, you have shitty taste in men, and she's like blaming herself. It's like, well, I'm crazy. And then it comes out, she lets him know that this is the International Nashville Film Festival, not the Nashville International Film Festival, which is where Clint Eastwood and Jack Nicholson...
Oh, that's not the way I took that at all. I took it that they've sent out this invitation every year. Yes, that there's two film festivals.
Right.
There's a big one, the Nashville International Film Festival, and there's this one that her brother and his pal do. And every year that they do this film festival, they send out an invitation to a celebrity.
Right,
and
you're right.
Them, but they never showed up.
But
ever showed up.
You are the first one to show up.
So they do the award, they do the films, they honor the person, and they, ship the award to their fan club or whatever. Yeah. But he's the first one to collect it. Not that they're riding the tails off the other film.
Well, no, but that's, I took it as they switched the name to sort of...
Oh, that part, yes. But as far as the other film festival honoring the other actors, that's not what I took it as. I took it that they've every year picked
one. They've every year have picked one, but they are using the... rearrange the name.
Yes.
So now Vic, you know.
McDowell's. It's McDowell's.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So Vic feels like he's been punked.
Right. Like, wait, nobody else has ever come? Like, nope. That's the whole reason I came is because I thought of this.
And then the movie ends and they go and Vic is gone and they go out and her brother is like, where's Vic? He's like, he left. And she's like... And honestly, at this point, I don't know why it seems like she does not give a shit about any of this. And it's obvious she's not getting paid a lot. So I don't know why she's sticking around.
I think it's that thing of like angry millennials that like they're angry, but really deep down they want to care about something. And I don't know. Because yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they didn't go back in after this. They were watching like one of his old westerns. They renamed one of his old westerns as The Nine Lives of... cat something or whatever, but it's one of his old movies. But yeah, they don't go back in. They find him out.
They find him out across the street riding one of those old mechanical horses that you'd find in front of and he's drunk. He's wasted. But they do gather him and bring him back in. And then he goes off on them. He's like, this place sucks. You people, you know, this is an abasement. He goes off on everybody there. And then they take him back to his
motel.
And they're like, we got a big day tomorrow. And then Burt Reynolds goes off on them again. And then the guy who put the film festival together goes off, you know, he's like, you're an asshole. You know, it must suck having coming here and having everybody, you know, pay attention to you. And at this point, Burt Reynolds just does not care. He's like, bye-bye, bye-bye. And at one point, one of the friends is filming him. They're making a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And Burt Reynolds takes the camera and throws it out the window, and it lands on Lil's car, actually. And then after Burt Reynolds kicks him out, one of the guys goes, I told you the wording of that invitation was a bit misleading.
I also like when he goes, sorry about your camera. He goes, it's the schools. They've got insurance.
Yeah.
It's okay. It reminds me of like a lot of the guys that we perform with, at least even kind of back during this time period, that of a bunch of the guys from University of Houston that we do improv with, like the younger guys. It's kind of that group. It's that feeling. It's those type of folks, you know, with their best, you know, efforts. They're trying to put on this festival and, you know, they're borrowing the equipment from the university or whatever and doing all their stuff. So yeah, he's mad. He throws the guy's camera. He's drunk.
They leave, and then he sees a couple of prostitutes downstairs, and then he goes to get his Viagra, which he is out of. Yeah, he spills all of his pills on the floor, and then he slips on his pill, on a pill bottle, and hits his head on the television.
I was like, good Lord. I was like, ugh.
Now, once again, this is more good editing in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because we cut from that to her in bed with her. She's got, you know, he's like, did you pick Vic up? And she's like, I'm on my way there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We cut back to Lil. She's in bed with her boyfriend.
Yes. She's gotten back together with her boyfriend. So she rushes off to the hotel to pick him up. And then she goes to the door and she's knocking. And I'm thinking, oh, great. She's going to find him unconscious on the floor. No, he's up. He's got a Band-Aid on his head. So... You're late. I thought that was nice editing where we didn't have to see him stagger around with a head wound. We know what happened. And he's like, you're taking me back to the airport. And she's like, fine.
He's packed.
He's ready to go. We're going back to the airport.
Which I think is actually pretty crafty writing, because we're going to talk in a second about where they end up.
Yeah.
But the fact that he has all of his stuff with him is pretty smart.
Because yeah.
Had she just picked him up to take him to lunch... And then they go on this adventure. Right. He wouldn't have had any of his personal belongings. It just so happens he has a packed suitcase.
And she's like, that was pretty shitty what you said last night. But the thing is, during this whole time, she has said nothing good about this either. She has said equally bad things. So she has a conscience about it, but she still is not supportive of her brother. And then they pass.
They're supposed to meet him for barbecue. They're supposed to go to that barbecue.
They're supposed to go to barbecue, and then they're going to the airport, and he sees the exit for Knoxville. And she's like,
right.
And he's like, we're going to Knoxville.
Right. He says, take the exit.
And she's like, I'm not going to drive. It's a 3-hour drive to Knoxville. He's like, I was promised a driver for the whole weekend. You're my driver. We're going to Knoxville. And then she screeches to make the exit, and then we have this cut to Burt Reynolds in the car with Smokey from Smokey and the Bandit.
Don't you think you ought to slow down a little? We're not going to get pulled over.
Goddamn son of a bitch!
Damn, it's a Texas Mountie. What the hell is he doing in Arkansas?
I think you better pull off to the side, Vic.
Well, let's just see what he's got under the hood.
Bye-bye, baby.
Vic, take it easy. I may be old, but I'm not ready to die yet. What the hell's the matter with you? We could have been killed. You think you're gonna live forever?
Uh-huh.
Look, I know you think you've got it all figured out right now.
Well, I do some crazy things.
But listen to me. You're on a collision course. You're about to make a lot of bad life decisions.
Really?
I can help you before you throw it all away.
Too late now.
No!
Yeah.
The bandit.
Yes, so it's old Bert and young Bert.
Yeah, that's actually really great. I thought that was such a neat cut. It was not expected.
Old Bert is trying to tell young Bert, like, okay, you may think you have everything figured out, but you don't. Cherish this time. And young Bert, he's being cocky. You know, he's like, I got everything under control. And so that was a nice...
Right, they're using the real dialogue from Smokey and the Bandit.
Right.
And he's... I mean, I think this is a scene where normally it's Sally Field in the car.
Yes, it would be Sally Field in the car with him.
But they're cutting it in with the new dialogue from this movie. And it's pretty crafty that... I'm thinking Burt Reynolds must have been kind of excited about this when he was storyboarded this or pitched it or saw the dailies or whatever. I feel like Burt Reynolds probably thought this was pretty cool.
I would think so, yeah.
The neat thing about this, too, is if you are a younger person who does not know Burt Reynolds' body of work, you can watch this movie and see, wow, he really was this handsome movie star with this broad base of work, and it makes you want to go back and watch Smokey and the Bandit, or watch some of his old westerns.
So, during the question and answer, like you said, this touches on a lot of stuff in his life. They asked, you were imitating Brando, or Brando thought you were imitating him, and that was real. Brando thought he was imitating. And then they say something like, you were doing all these character roles, and then you lean towards action. And it's like, you turned down this role to do this role, which was in reference of, he turned down Terms of Endearment to do Stroker Ace. Might not have won an Academy Award like Jack Nicholson, but that's the reference they're making. He also makes a reference about punching out a director. He did that. So all this stuff that really happened in real life, they have adopted.
At this point, at this point in the movie, I'm pretty happy to see the turn we're taking now, where it's really about, it's going to be more about this adventure that he and Lil go on together. Because when I first saw the concept for this movie and first saw the trailer, I thought, it's going to be him just sitting there answering questions, and that it was going to be this like, there wasn't going to be much plot, much story, and it was going to be this movie built around him just telling stories about Hollywood. And I was so happy to see that there was actually more meat to it.
Yeah. So they get to Knoxville. The first stop they make is his childhood home. And they're outside, and the woman who lives there now comes out, and she starts talking about her house. It's like, and it's rumored that, Vic Edwards used to live here. And Lil's like, this is Vic Edwards. And she's like, oh my God.
And that's kind of where she starts to turn with him too, where she's kind of enjoying this more.
Right. Well, it's the thing with her character. She turns, but then she turns back. It's like turning and turning back. And all during
she said she is mentally unstable.
Yes. And so during all this, while she's in Knoxville, she's texting and calling her boyfriend, who's having sex with another woman in her bed. Which I
he's
saw
the
that.
Bad guy.
He's the bad guy. I saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah, the lady is like, "Ooh, you are Vic Edwards, this old black lady." Yeah. She's all excited. And so they end up going in the house. Right. And
well, they were talking about what his real name was, which I forget.
It was Jewish. A Jewish name.
Yes, but I looked, and Burt Reynolds was not Jewish in real life. So I thought that.
But what is it in Adam Sandler song? Doesn't he say Burt Reynolds is half Jewish, or what's he say, quarter Jewish? No, he's part Jewish, because I know they said, doesn't Adam Sandler sing that in the Hanukkah song?
I don't know if he's in the Hanukkah song.
Now I'm going to have to look that up later. Okay. You can play it at the end of the podcast if he's in it.
By the way, Burt Reynolds is not in the Hanukkah song. That was misinformation and assumptions on the part of Steph DeWagoner.
But yeah, he says, I'm Jewish, but I had to change.
Yeah, you change your name to get into Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then their next stop is the football field, because Burt Reynolds used to be a college football player. So they stop at this football field, and they actually break into this football field.
Yes.
And they go out on the...
And she's actually like, you can't do that. You can't do that. He's like, come on.
Yeah.
He's pretty spry, even though we probably should say Burt Reynolds is walking around with a cane.
He's hunched over. He's walking over. Yeah, he looks. And I don't know how much of that was him or how much that was the character.
I think that was all pretty.
I think that might have been all him.
I think didn't Burt Reynolds have major pain issues for most of his adult life?
He had, during the movie City Heat with Clint Eastwood, he got hit in the jaw was supposed to be a breakaway chair, but it wasn't. So he had TMI or TMJ?
TMJ.
So he had TMJ. So he was in major pain for that. He started losing weight because he couldn't eat. And everybody thought that he had AIDS at that time.
Oh.
And he was eventually able... A doctor filed down his teeth. He was able to get over that. But yes, he was in major pain with that accident. Plus, he was a stuntman.
But I was going to say, didn't he have pain for like football and
stuff? Oh, yeah, he tore up his knee. I mean, yeah, he was in pain, but that, and it looks like it all caught up to him. Then afterwards, they go to this spot where he talks about where he proposed to his first wife.
Yeah, they're on a bridge.
And he's been married 5 times, and he talks about his one true love. And I'm just wondering if that was Dinah Shore.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yes, because Dinah Shore died shortly after they got together. So I'm thinking, he's like, I had five wives, but I really only had one true love in my life. And I'm just wondering if that was a reference to Dinah Shore.
Well, he said at one point Sally Field was the one true love of his life, but...
Yeah, but I read his book, and she sort of turned on him a little. And maybe that was, I guess that still would make her the one true love of his life, but he was incredibly hurt by that. There was some rumors going around, and she didn't defend him, and he was just like, okay, that was it with that. I know it wasn't Lonnie Anderson.
Right.
Because I know from what I read in the book, too, he really didn't want, she sort of forced him in the marriage, and I know things got messy there at the end with him and her.
Well, and he also was married to Judy Carne from Laugh-In for like 2 years.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, he never married Dinah Shore or Sally Field. Never married those two.
Right. I don't know. He was pretty young when he was with Dinah Shore.
And she was older.
Right. It was kind of like John Travolta and...
The woman from Eight is Enough.
Eight is Enough. Yeah.
Can't think of her name.
She died.
Yeah.
It was like terrible. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that too. I was wondering. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Burt Reynolds didn't have like some young high school sweetheart wife that he came to Hollywood with and divorced.
No, no.
So, yeah, I don't know.
No, because during one of his speeches, he's like, I fucked everybody.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was Dinah Shore too. And just by the look. Yeah, that's what I felt too.
Well, he wants to say his first wife is in a home there in Knoxville, and they go there, and it's 9 o'clock, they want in, and they won't let him in.
Yeah, it's closing time, it's way after.
No, it's way after.
Visitor time.
Visiting hours. So then, Burt Reynolds springs for this nice hotel room.
He didn't have to pay for that hotel. He didn't pay for that hotel. Trust me. They go to this nice hotel. It's like the Peabody. It's like this nice... It's not the Peabody, but it's like a nice Tennessee hotel. And they go to check in, and she says they're full up. There's an event. They don't have any rooms. And the hotel manager swoops in and is like, oh, Mr. Edwards, that knows exactly who he is. And gives them, like, the suite, like, the presidential suite. And I promise you, he didn't pay for that room. I promise you, they comped him. It was some, like, kind, genuine thing cut out of the heart of the hotel manager. Because later on, that front desk clerk is, like, enjoying your suite.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. They may have taken his card, but I promise you, he didn't pay for that room.
Well, they go into this really nice hotel.
Big suite,
and their room service.
Yeah.
And
she's like, I've never had room service before. You know, it's got multiple rooms. Like, mm-hmm. She takes a bedroom, and now she's really starting to kind of bond with him.
Yeah, they both make a ploy to be better people. Not a ploy. They make a, an agreement to be better people. And during all,
when did he see her artwork? Because he'd seen
in the car, one of the drives in the car.
Oh, that's right.
She's an artist, and she draws these things. And so he's gone through her book.
I think he kind of appreciates that about her, that she's creative or something.
And he's like, "Why don't you ever put your drawings in a show?" And she's like, "I'd be embarrassed. I'd be scared." And he's like, "Where would I do it?" And it's like, if you're gonna have a film festival in a bar, you can have an art show in a bar.
She's got a big chip on her shoulder that's basically a defense mechanism. She's I'm going to lash out at everybody else before they get me. That's why she's so angry. I'm going to get everybody else. She's frustrated because she's on all these meds and they're trying to figure out what's wrong, you know. And here's somebody who actually is kind of like a no bullshit kind of person that maybe she doesn't have somebody like that in her life, but, you know, who's not afraid of her, who kind of talks back to her. And so it's kind of good. He's chipping away at this shell she has. Yeah, they get this nice rooftop dinner at the hotel, like on the balcony of their suite.
So during this, she takes some pictures and she posts them on Instagram.
Yeah, because she's helping her brother. She's posting hashtag. Oh, that was funny in the beginning too. Like, what's your hashtag? What's your this? Do you take? And he has no. Anytime they bring up anything like that in the movie, he has no idea.
He's like, "Did you see the trailer on YouTube?" And he's like, "No. What time does it come on?"
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So he and they think he's joking.
Right.
And he's not.
Yeah, but they're asking like, "What's your use hashtag this, hashtag that. Like, if the wife comes up and says, make sure, you know, thinking he's going to post pictures on Instagram.
Yeah.
So she's helping. Lil's helping by posting pictures on Instagram.
And the boyfriend sees these pictures and he's like, what the hell? Now, and at this point, we discover that he's been banging this other chick.
She's in the tub.
She's in the tub.
And she
pulls... Well, first, she's in the tub and she pulls up Google. And it's actually Google. Because usually in these movies you get... You get
it's
search.
Like, right, it's like on Law and Order. Let's go to Face Page and see if we can find the profile. Yeah.
It's Google. Yeah. And when she types in Vic Edwards, Burt Reynolds' Google page comes up. It's exact, because I'm, you know, doing this podcast, I research him a lot. And it's exactly.
Yeah, and she's using like the TV in the hotel in the bathroom. She's using like the online apps, like the smart TV app.
And then she goes to YouTube and she sees him on Johnny Carson, that scene where he puts a whipped cream down Johnny Carson's
pants. She's laughing.
She's laughing.
She's getting like a new appreciation for him and who he is and why everybody, you know, wanted to see him at this film festival.
And then she goes to Instagram and she sees... looks at all of her pictures, and then she's looking at her boyfriend's, and then she sees something that we don't...
She looks at this picture of her boyfriend, he's looking kind of studly, and there's likes. Well, one of the likes has a heart next to it, and it's this girl's name she recognizes, so she clicks that girl,
right,
and takes her to her Instagram.
And that girl posted a selfie... And she recognized it. She's like, she starts crying. She's like, Vic, we got to get out of here.
Because earlier, you very obviously see on like Lil's nightstand, there's a Coke bottle that she like, I don't know, spit into or drank out or did something. And so you see the girl that her boyfriend slept with takes this like, you know, in bed, sleepyhead. She's not naked, but she's got like a sheet. And you see very obviously it's Lil's bedroom.
Right. And she explains this all to Bert, and he's just like, I don't know. And then she's like running out, and he's running after her. He has heart palpitations, so he has to sit down
in the lobby.
And she's like, okay, I'm going to get you some water. And then she goes off to get him some water, and some people recognize him.
Yeah, there's a big formal event happening in the hotel. So there's all these people in tuxedos and gowns, and these two guys. You know, I tried to look up those guys. The way they filmed those two guys. I was like, is that somebody?
I thought they might have been somebody,
and
too.
And I couldn't find really
they are anything. Somebody, but they're like...
But it's not like in some of our other movies where we've talked about, oh, that's a director, or oh, that's so-and-so. I couldn't really figure out. They gave them kind of these two featured sort of moments. Yeah, he's having this medical issue where he's kind of like half in and half out of it. And these people are like, oh, Vic Edwards, People of an age that would know that that's who that is and appreciate it.
Well, she comes back with the water and he's gone, and she's searching for him, and she finds him in a ballroom singing. There's a wedding going on. So one of the people who came up to him.
Oh, that's a formal event.
Yes. And that's the wedding, and he's singing at the wedding. And for some reason, that made me think of Trump. Because you see all these videos of people getting married at Mar-a-Lago, and Trump's there talking about how the election was stolen. And that just made me think of that. But he sings a song.
And it's good. It's nice. It's sweet. Yep. It's not weird. He's not drunk and it's awkward. Like,
nope.
Like everybody at the wedding's loving it. The band is backing him up. He talks to the groom.
The bride.
It's a cute moment.
It's not an awkward moment. And then afterwards...
But it also shows how he knows to put it on. Like, he's putting on Vic. Like, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, a story of... I love Jack Benny. And people would say, like, the older years when he would go on Carson, people would say, I saw Jack Benny he just looked like this frail old man. And it was like, he can't go out in front of these people. And then he would go out and bam, once the lights were on and the people, he was Jack Benny. He turned it on. So
that's going to be us in 30 years.
Yeah, or 20. then I got in my notes here. So this is when we get another flashback where they put him in the Deliverance movie.
Yeah, I thought that was great. So it's where Burt Reynolds' character in Deliverance is spearfishing.
And they've replaced... John Voight.
I remember it was Ronnie Cox.
No, yeah, it was John Voight with the old Burt Reynolds.
Hey,
It was fun while it lasted, wasn't it, Vic? We had some great times, you and me. We got to do things and see things that most people just dream about.
Oh, yeah.
Where did it all go, man? And what does any of it mean? After all these years, I still can't figure it out. What the game's about?
Survival. Who has the ability to survive? That's the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm surviving. Barely. I took it all for granted. I thought I had figured out. I look in the mirror now, and I have no idea who that person is staring back at me. Damn. You're good looking. You know, time is like this river. No matter what you do or don't do, no matter how much you think you can beat it, just keeps rushing by.
You don't beat it. Don't beat this river.
No, you don't.
And so he's laying down in the canoe or laying down in the boat while strong, you know, chest hair, Burt Reynolds, no toupee. I guess he's got a, maybe, I was going to say no toupee, but maybe it's one of his lighter
toupees.
Spear.
Actually, this movie blows my, I had this theory. It's like whenever you see a Burt Reynolds movie, comedy, toupee, drama, no toupee. But he's obviously wearing a toupee in this movie.
Well, right. So,
but that was my... And up to this point, it was... Yeah, every
his
time...
serious hair and his comedy.
He has his comedy hair and his serious hair.
Yeah.
So he goes... So that's the next day, and he gets into the home to see his first ex-wife.
Mrs. Edwards.
And she has Alzheimer's. And they talk about his daughter, who is dead.
Right, because Lil asks, oh, did you ever have any kids? And he said, I had a daughter, but she's not here anymore. She passed away, and she said, do you want to talk about it? He said, nope.
And I looked at it, and that did not happen. That was, Burt Reynolds had one adopted son.
Right, with Lonnie
Anderson. That was it. And
I think they were estranged at one point, but then right before he died, I think they reconciled or something.
Yeah, because I think Lonnie, from what Burt said, Lonnie turned his son against him. Maybe. Yeah, that's what he says. Burt Reynolds does this, you know, speech to his first wife, and she has Alzheimer's. She's in and out of it. She's like, do I know you? I'm like, I knew that was coming.
Right, because she's looking at him, and Lil's watching, and it's like really sweet, and he's saying all these really sweet things. And then, and she's like, what's your name? Like, what? But then later... So then they grab her.
So what happens is we go back to the film festival.
Oh, that's right.
And they're actually showing a scene. It was from Gunsmoke. And that was actually Burt Reynolds and the woman who played his wife.
Yes. I thought that was great.
Yes.
There's just such nice detail in this movie.
And that was an episode of Gunsmoke. And they clap. And it's like, well, if Vic was here, we'd present him. I'm sure... And then Vic comes in. He's like, you know, don't put words in my mouth. And he basically comes in and he apologizes and he thanks everybody and he gives a speech. And during the speech, we see the flashback of what happened where Burt Reynolds and Lil have, you know, took his wife. And Burt Reynolds said, he proposed to her, he's like, we always said we'd come back here, but we never did. Well, they go back there while he's doing the speech, we see where they did go back there.
And there was this whole little bit about a ring that he made out of seaweed. Yeah. And so he like recreates this moment.
Yes, he recreates this moment. And then we...
And she remembers him.
Yes.
She has a moment. She has a kind of a light. The lights go on and she remembers him. They kiss. It's very sweet.
It's very sweet. Burt Reynolds does a speech. And they applaud. And then Lil takes him back to the airport. And they have a nice moment. And so he goes back to L.A. And he's back there with Chevy Chase. And they have another, they have a nice little moment together. He's like, you know, how can I get one of those? And he's make something up or something like that. So, and while they're having the speech, we see that Lil has, she's going to do an art show.
Yes. With she's her putting art. Yep. She's putting her pictures on display. Oh, and she, because Burt Reynolds also is like, you should look at that friend of your brother.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right. So, and one thing that bothered me, it was like the boyfriend didn't really get his comeuppance in this movie. I would have liked to have seen something like that. But she does eventually, Burt Reynolds is like, yeah, go with the nice guys. Don't try to change us bad boys. Go with the nice guys.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see her, like, punch him or...
Well, because Burt Reynolds says, if you ever want to get somebody... Put somebody down, four fingers to the throat.
Well, she does that.
And she does that to this random guy, right. But I would have liked to see her do it to him. We see that Burt Reynolds has a new dog.
Yes, he's got a puppy, yeah. Which I thought, I was like, oh, yay, he has a puppy. Okay, good. You know, so it's kind of, it gave him a little, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a little injection of, you know, fresh life, you know? So yeah, he's got a puppy, you know, he's got his lifetime achievement award.
He has it up on the
mantle.
Displayed
on his mantle.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, his day-to-day life, he's probably still going to be going to the grocery store and going to have lunch with Chevy Chase or whatever, but, you know, he sort of gave him a little...
It gave him a boost.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was the last movie star.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I think if you're a fan of Burt Reynolds, you definitely should see it. If you don't know a lot of Burt Reynolds' work, you might want to watch like Smokey and the Bandit, Deliverance, maybe watch some of his old westerns and then watch this. But you don't have to. You absolutely can just appreciate it for what it is. If you don't know a thing about
Burt Reynolds, just...
you could appreciate this movie for what it is.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie as well. I know they were only short. I thought the scenes with Chevy Chase, I really liked those as well. They were short, but they were poignant. And he's got a friend in Chevy.
And really, they don't, I hate to sound like this, but they don't make them like that anymore. There's movie stars, but there aren't movie stars.
No,
like
there's
how Burt Reynolds was.
No, there's no more movie stars. In fact, I watched a video on that today on how there's no more movie stars. The word celebrity doesn't mean anything anymore. These commercials, six celebrities,
Right.
Yeah, the word celebrity has no meaning anymore.
There was always a little veil of mystery about a movie star.
Right.
You know, he never really knew everything. The studio could, you know, could manipulate things where, they're in a relationship with so-and-so. Mm. But now with so much social media and reality TV and every... Buddy and their uncle's got a talk show. There really is. It's like, oh, well, movie actors are like us. They're just making more money. You
right.
know? So it's almost like movie stars try to show you how normal they are, as opposed to, with the exception of like Mariah Carey, I think. They try to show you how normal they are. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow wants you to know she's just a struggling mom, just like you are.
No, and she's not. She's got 12 nannies.
Right.
I miss the old time movies, and yeah, this was a nice tribute. This was because I believe reading IMDb, Burt Reynolds died like 5 months after this was.
Yeah, I mean, I think the closest
he didn't have a chance to enjoy this,
right?
And maybe this could have, because he got a renaissance with Boogie Nights. This, I don't know how much of a renaissance he could have with this movie, but I wish he would have been around longer to enjoy.
He was really sharp in this movie too.
Sharp as a tack.
I didn't think there was any moments where I was like, ooh, this is hard to watch. I thought there was a few things that had been dubbed. I thought they would.
And of course, there's stunt doubles when he falls.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did think they went back and looped some dialogue again or whatever, you know, but he's sharp. He's there. He's funny. He's, it's a good performance.
Yeah.
It's a good performance. I think the only person we have right now that to me would be somebody like, would be like George Clooney. I feel like George Clooney is probably our closest thing to like a Burt Reynolds nowadays. You know?
I would agree with that.
There's still a certain air of movie star about George Clooney.
And Brad Pitt too, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well that's it. Is there anything you want to promote or...
Well, you know what? Coming up the week of February 17th and 18th, if you're in Houston, come see the Improv Rodeo at Comedy Sports Houston. Not only will it be your favorite local comedy sports players, but we're also going to be inviting players from around the country. We're going to have players from California, New Jersey, neighboring teams from Austin and San Antonio. Chicago. So we're going to have a bunch of players coming in for a special weekend, and we're going to have extra shows. So go to CSZHouston.com and find out more information about Improv Rodeo February 17th, 18th, 2023.
All right. Well, that's it. I want to thank Steph for doing this, and we'll see everybody here next time on the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. This should help people find the podcast when they're searching. No matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Burt Reynolds and Charles Bronson podcast.
You really want to leave me here alone?
Well, I really want some food.
Well, I know I shouldn't stop you, but, you know, I feel safe with you around.
You do?
Well, I am safe, ain't I?
Well, Festus will be back in a minute.
Festus ain't you.
Concludes our Vic Edwards Film Festival. We are now going to give out our Lifetime Achievement Award to the great Vic Edwards in absentia. I'm sure if Vic were here, he would want to thank all the fans.
Don't put words in my mouth. Stop crying out loud. Good Lord, man.
Oh, my... Vic!
Get me a chair.
Yeah, of course, right away.
Unfortunately, until today, the last time I apologized for anything was in 1977. I punched out a director on a set of Horsepower. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being such an asshole. Leaving the way I did. I thought I was too good for this little film festival, but as it turns out, it's too good for the likes of me. Winning this Lifetime Achievement Award has forced me to examine an important question that I've avoided as long as possible. What have I really achieved in this lifetime? Most of the movies I've made, everybody knows the way they're going to end, right from the first scene. Life's kind of like that. Everybody knows how it ends. But it's the scenes in the middle that make it count. The great producer Joseph E. Levine once told me, an audience will forgive a shitty act too if you can wow them in act three. Well, I had a hell of an act one, pretty shitty act two, and I screwed up most of act three. I made certain of that. But thanks to you, and thanks to Doug and Shane and Stuart and Faith, and especially Lil, and everybody here, you've helped me to see that maybe it's not too late for my Hollywood ending. So with humility and pride and deep appreciation, I'm Martin Joe Schulman, proud son of Tennessee. Humbly accept this lifetime so far achievement award. And I'm going to make damn sure that the rest of my life lives up to the honor of this. Thank you.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.